Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
A reading from John 15, 1-8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Thanks, Gabby. That was really well read. That was the first time she's read the Bible in front of this group, so well done. A little bit of feeling, I love that. Well, we are starting a new series this evening that coincides, of course, with baptism, looking at the fruit of the Spirit over the next 6 or 7 weeks in this term in the lead up to Christmas. And while our theme verse is actually taken from the letter of Paul to the church at Galatia, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where he talks specifically about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and whatnot. And we'll be looking at those virtues over the course of this series. I thought it might be useful to begin, again, in part because of the baptisms here tonight, to reflect a little bit on the metaphor of fruitfulness. It's used in Galatians, as I said, that Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but he's not the only one to use that image. In fact, it's used all the way through Scripture. Jesus, the words that Gabby just read for us, he uses that image, not just in this section, a fairly well-known section in John chapter 15, but in many of his parables, the short stories that he tells that have a kind of significance for understanding the kingdom. He often refers to fruit and fruitfulness, whether that be the fact that good trees bear good fruit, or whether it's the parable of someone sowing seed and the kind of fruit that grows from that, or whether it's talking about the people of God as a vineyard of God, and that image he takes from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, we also find that this idea of fruitfulness exists. The prophets talk about fruit, or often the lack of fruit in God's people. The wisdom literature talks about the fruit of the kinds of decisions that we make, of the relationships that we have, the habits and the practices that we put into our lives. But I actually found that as I was reflecting on fruitfulness and the metaphor of it, the kind of the most significant place in Scripture that speaks about fruit is actually in the opening chapters of Genesis. We actually spent, as a community of faith, the better part of last term, 9 weeks in the opening chapters of Genesis. And fruitfulness is baked in, shall we say, from the very beginning. And so I thought it'd be useful just to reflect a little bit on it, and particularly our role in being fruitful. Because even though we don't necessarily use the term fruitful in the rest of our lives, it's kind of a churchy word, isn't it? It's a bit of a spiritual word that we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, or Jesus talks about bearing fruit by remaining in him and whatnot. But we don't use the terminology very often in the rest of our lives, but we understand it, don't we? Because ultimately, the question or the metaphor about fruit is about results and outcomes. All right? While Marcus, I think he's right that this is more important than studying for the HSC, at least tonight. I wouldn't say the same thing tomorrow night. But, you know, there's a sense that the study that he has put in, well, guess what? We're going to find the fruit of that study in the days to come, are we not? If you are working in a particular field and you've been working through a project that you've planned and worked hard at and you're getting close to the conclusion, you're going to find out whether that project is going to bear fruit. We don't talk about it that way in our boardrooms or in our classrooms, but we understand the image, don't we? That when we talk about the fruit of something, we're talking about the end result, the final outcome, how it all kind of washes out, what's left at the end. And whether that's in work or in study or in our personal lives, it's fairly significant. And because of the emphasis on, shall we say, the outcome and the idea that there's a natural cause and effect, right? That the things that we put into our lives will eventually bear fruit. The hard work that we put into a project will bear fruit at the conclusion of the project. The hard work we put into our financial investments will pay off. The hard work that we put into our study will pay off, right? The emphasis can often be on what we are doing. What we are doing. About being careful about taking responsibility for the things that we are investing in our lives, the relationships that we have or the practices that we engage in, the habits that we try to implement, all of those sorts of things. And there is a place for us in bearing fruit, but I don't think it's quite what we think it might be. And so I'd like to reflect a little bit on some of the themes that we find on fruitfulness. And then reflect very briefly on, I think, a couple of ways that it impacts us. So if we had time, and I really wanted to go through the entire last term's worth of sermons, we would go back to Genesis 1 to 12 and talk about fruit. Let me give you the high points. Fruitfulness, as both as a literal idea, but also as a metaphor, is used throughout the opening chapters. It is, first of all, part of God's provision. So in the created order, there was this sense of fruitfulness that God blesses the created order with, whether that's the whole of the created order or humanity within it, be fruitful and multiply. There's a sense that that provision is from God. We see that played out when God plants the garden in the midst of all of the uncultivated chaos of this growing and fertile world. God puts a garden in place, his structure, his order, his intentionality. And he provides for the couple that he places there to eat all of the fruits of all of the trees bar one. This provision of God is found all the way through Scripture. It's not uncommon for the prophets or for others to talk about God's provision of fruitfulness for his people. It's a form of blessing, which of course tells us something about our role in producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. And that is that it is part of God's provision in our lives. It's God's fruit. And that's important, particularly when we consider the second theme in the opening chapters of Genesis, and that is that fruitfulness is associated with God's presence. And again, this theme is found all the way throughout Scripture. But in that garden, the very center of the garden, there were the two trees, the two special trees. Whatever other trees there were in the garden, in the center of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was in the very center of the garden that God came to meet with the first couple. When he came to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, it was in the middle of the garden. And this idea of the presence of God and fruitfulness is actually found all the way through Scripture. When you look at the examples for the designs of both the tabernacle and the temple, the traveling temple that the people of Israel were commanded to build and the building that they actually built in Jerusalem, imagery of fruitfulness is found everywhere. So in the tabernacle, in the holy place, just outside of the presence of God in the most holy place, was, amongst other things, a seven-branched lampstand. And it wasn't just a lampstand, it was actually designed to look like a tree. It was to be covered in almond flowers and blossoms. The priests, in the robes that they wore, along the hem of the robes, they were to have alternating gold bells and pomegranates, one of the fruits that's often linked with fruitfulness. In the temple, there were carvings on all of the internal walls. And while there were cherubim, kind of the angels that are around the throne of God, there were also date palms, there were figs, there were olives, and olive trees, open flowers. Those are all throughout the temple, a reminder that in God's presence, there is fruitfulness. Ezekiel and his vision of the new temple has similar images. And here, when we get to what Jesus has to say, we find a similar thing. Because it's only if we remain in him that there is fruitfulness. That's being found in the presence of God that we are going to be fruitful. Whether it's walking with God in the garden, whether it is abiding or remaining in Jesus, or whether it's keeping in step with the Spirit, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, this is a central principle. So already, I think we've seen, have we not, that there's more emphasis on God than on us, that the fruit that we may bear in our lives is God's provision to us that is linked to his presence in our lives. And that perhaps the most important thing for us to do in order to be fruitful is not to try harder, is not to do better, is not to, you know, kind of reach for some new spiritual goal. It is simply to remain in Jesus, to be in his word and to be praying and to be developing that understanding of who he is. And the reason why that is so important is actually because of the third theme that we find in the opening passages of Genesis. Fruitfulness is not only the provision of God, it's not only associated with his presence, but it's also linked with his purpose. When it comes right down to it, our fruitfulness, the fruitfulness of men and women to be doing the things that God has established for us to do, the things that we found in Genesis, whether it's the bringing form to that which is formless and filling that which is empty, whether it's reflecting God's character and his intentions in the world, it has to do with his purposes. His presence with his people and his provision for his people is in order that his purposes might come to pass. God is not particularly interested, shall I say, in general fruitfulness. He's interested in fruitfulness for his purposes. My attention was really caught by the last section of that passage that Gabby read for us. When Jesus said this, verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory." And what is to my Father's glory? What is to my Father's glory is that you bear much fruit. When we bear fruit, it glorifies God, because it aligns with his purposes and plans in the world. And I think this is a really important thing for us to grapple with, that God's purposes are what calls fruit forth in our lives. If you want to know where you can practice being fruitful, well, it's when you are engaged in the plans and purposes of God. That's a good place to start. Because fruit bearing, if it's linked with God's purposes, is public. It's not just something that I do internally, kind of, you know, on my own. Oh, look, I'm becoming so much kinder. Oh, look, I'm becoming so much more patient. Those are things that can only be done in public, can they not? The only way you're going to find out if I'm more patient is if we actually spend time together, right? The only way you're going to find out if I actually am gentler is if we spend time together. The only times I tend to get tested in those areas is when I'm with other people, right? It's a public thing. It's linked with God's purposes, which means that ultimately the fruit that we're looking for, the fruit that we are hoping to cultivate, is ultimately God's fruit in our lives. It's God's fruit. So where's the role for us? Where's our role? And I've suggested a couple already, the idea of just abiding with Jesus, about spending time investing in that relationship. But I'd like to take it one step further, because I think there's an important link for us about the kind of fruit that we're seeking to develop and our role within it. So a number of years ago, my wife, Nicole, had a special birthday. And for her special birthday, I cooked a bit of a special meal, and she invited a few friends around, and I cooked and I served for them and whatnot, which is a lovely opportunity for her birthday. One of the dishes was a fish soup, a recipe of which I had sourced from the UK chef and restaurateur, Rick Stein. I thought it looked kind of interesting, and so I downloaded the recipe, and off we went. So we got to the evening, and I brought the soup out and served it to everyone. And one of the guests, you know, kind of took a couple of mouthfuls and looked at me and said, "Is this Rick Stein's soup?" And I was like, "Yes, duh." And I have to say, I was mildly chuffed that I had replicated the recipe to such a degree that it was still recognizable as Rick Stein's soup, and very impressed with her that she could taste that this is not just any soup, but Rick Stein's fish soup. And I tell the story because I think there's something in that for the kind of fruit that we're hoping to generate in our lives. When I am kind to someone, what I'm hoping ultimately is that they will not say, "That was really kind," but that they will say, "Isn't that God's kindness?" That they'll actually recognize in me something that is not of my creation, but is someone else's creation, that I have, well, sought to imitate and duplicate in my life. When I am patient with someone, that people would say, "Isn't that the patience of Jesus?" And I would say, "That's what I was aiming for." And when they say, "That was a really loving thing that you did," or "The peace that you experienced, isn't that God's peace? Isn't that what we're hoping for?" But it also invites us into a place where there's something for us to do. Rick Stein did not make the soup that night. I did. I bought the ingredients. I followed the recipe. I cooked the soup. But it was recognizably someone else's. And I think there might be something in that for us when we think about the fruit of the Spirit that we hope to see in our lives. I want to spend so much time with God. I want to walk with God the Father in the garden. I want to abide in Jesus. I want to keep in step with the Spirit so that I am able to duplicate and imitate their character in my life so that other people might say, "I've seen that before, and it's not you. I've seen that love before. I've seen that joy before. I've experienced that peace." That's the peace of God, isn't it? That's ultimately the fruit of the Spirit that we want to see in our lives. Which, of course, creates a bit of a challenge for us, doesn't it? Because the outcome then really does sit with God, even as we seek to cultivate and foster those things. There is both a resting in what God is going to be doing and an imitation of what God is showing us, a resting in what God has called us to and an imitation of that in our lives. And we find it pretty hard, I think, to rest and to do. I think we prefer to do, or we prefer to rest. And I think part of the challenge of allowing the fruit of the Spirit to develop in our lives is that we are called to both rest and to do. That we are called to remain and to abide, and we are called to imitate. We are called to rest in God's purposes, in His provision, in His blessing, and we are invited to keep in step with His Spirit. So whether you're visiting with us tonight and you're normally a part of another community of faith, or you're visiting us tonight and you're just here to support a friend and you haven't really thought too much about this, or you're part of our community of faith, I just want to take an opportunity to lead us in prayer that the Holy Spirit would enable us to perhaps over the next little while in particular, as we're focusing on this series, to both rest in and remain in Jesus, and that we would imitate Him. And that in so doing, we would bear much fruit, because that is to the glory of our Father. I'm going to invite Lachlan and Adam to kind of come onto the platform at the same time. They're going to lead us in our closing song tonight. But would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are concerned with our fruitfulness, not just because you want us to be fruitful, but because of your purposes and plans in the world, and that your provision for us, your presence with us, is meant to enable us to participate in the things that you are doing. And we thank you that we are invited first and foremost to rest in you, to remain in you, that we don't start having to work and work and work, that we don't have to earn a break, that we don't have to accrue some sort of spiritual leave, but that we are just invited to rest, to walk with you, to abide in you, to keep in step with you. And that out of that, as we grow more and more familiar with who you are, to seek to imitate you, to duplicate your recipes in our lives. And as we try to hold that intention, the resting and the doing, I pray that you would both enable us to hold the tension, but also that we would begin to see your fruit in our lives. And I pray that others might see it too. And that as they experience the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the self-control that is evident in our lives, that they would not just see some people being good, but that they would ultimately see you at work in us. We thank you again for the opportunity we've had to hear a few stories, a very few small bits of stories of how you've been at work in people's lives, and we pray that you would continue to do that for all of us. Whether we're a part of this community of faith or another community of faith or just perhaps beginning our own spiritual journey. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.